Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good and greatly to be praised this morning. And all I can say is, touch not God's anointed one, because when you touch the anointed of God, you're walking on thin ice. You're walking on thin ice. In our word this morning, we're going to talk about the sons of Korah. They thought they was all that because they had been given an assignment in the house of God to the point where they thought they could just take over from Moses and Aaron, not understanding there was an assignment by God. You can't take what's not yours to have. If God didn't give you that assignment, don't try to take it. You got folks that want to claim, I'm a prophetess or I'm a prophet, when it's not their assignment. I'm an evangelist and it's not their assignment. I'm an apostle. It's not their assignment. Well, I'm a teacher, preacher, and I'm a minister, and I'm a pastor, and I'm a this, and I'm a that. But it's not their assignment. They haven't been called, and they haven't been chosen. And we understand that there are many who are called, but there are few who are chosen. You can't take somebody else's assignment and try to make it yours, because it just won't work. It will not work. It's yours. We got to understand that in life, there's just so much going on. And when people try to put you in a box, and your assignment is not in the box, your assignment is out of the box, you got to do what God calls you to do. I can't do what God has called Evangelist Teresa to do. I can't come up with acronyms that God has given to Mother Rita. I can't come up with the words that the psalmist speaks every morning through Sister Carolyn. I cannot do what they do. I can only do what I'm assigned to do. We got to understand that God does not. And in our lesson this morning, the sons of Korah are going to find out, yes, you are of the tribe of Levi. Yes, you've been given assignments within the temple. But no, you are not the leaders. You are not Moses. You are not Aaron. You are not Miriam. You are not in charge of anything but what I give you as an assignment. You know, you have folks, let's call it deacon boards, who try to kick pastors out. But find out all of a sudden they start getting sick. All of a sudden they start having issues. And I'm just going to call it, all of a sudden some of them die because they're doing what they do. As their kids say, you're doing too much. They're trying to take over what God has assigned somebody to do. They're trying to take over from God's anointed one. And God don't play that. I say it again, God don't play that. We have a God that is able, and he don't play. So don't mess with an anointed of God stepping out to step in where you don't belong. We got to understand God is, he's tough. We serve a mighty God, and he will not allow foolishness, and he will not allow you to mess with his people. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus. We come to you this morning screaming and shouting, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're great. Lord, you're omnipotent. Lord, you're everything that I need and more than I could ever ask for. Lord, I just thank you this morning for loving me more than I love myself. Thank you, Lord, for just being my Father God who cares about me, who wants the best for me. Thank you, Lord, for just being my hallelujah, awesome and mighty. Woo, hallelujah. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for starting me on my way. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a brand new day to worship you. To worship you, I live. Hallelujah. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you, God. And I can do nothing more than say thank you. For this is the day that you have made. I rejoice in it. Father God, as we get ready to go into this word, please, Father, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth, oh, hallelujah. And the, oh, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and my humble heart, God, I lift up to you, asking you, Father God, who is the source of my strength? Who is the strength of my life? Who is my redeemer? Who is my Father God? I ask you, Lord God, to please take over. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. And it is in the precious and the holy name of the Master Savior, Christ Jesus, I lift up this word. I lift up all of me, Lord God. Use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thanks be to our Father God who causes us to triumph in not my name, not your name, but in his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. I just can't help myself. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. As the song says, it makes me want to shout. Oh, hallelujah. It just makes me want to shout this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, family. God is good. And so let's get into our word today. And the word is coming out of the book of Numbers, ninth day of March. If you have our study Bible, we are coming out, we are on page 289, coming out of Numbers chapter 15 and 16. And our study Bible this year is the Charles S. Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. If there's a King James reader out there that would like to step in and read some morning, just push the number 1 on your phone. And if you are not calling in on a phone line, the number is 213-943-3597. Again, that's 213-943-3597. So let's get into Bible study. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for this day. And I'm just getting excited looking at the sun coming up this morning. And it just says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inhabit. Again, God is speaking to the children of Israel, giving them an edit. When you come, into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving to you, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering or in your appointed feast to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd or the flock. Then he who presents his offering to the Lord shall bring a grain offering of one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with one-fourth of a hin of oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. You shall prepare with the burnt offering or in or the sacrifice for each lamb or for a ram. You shall prepare as a grain offering two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with one-third of a hin of oil. As a drink offering, you shall offer one-third of a hin of wine as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And when you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or as a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a peace offering to the Lord, then shall be offered with the young bull a grain offering of three-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with half a hin of oil. And you shall bring as the drink offering half a hin of wine as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Thus it shall be done for each young bull, for each ram, or for each lamb or young goat, according to the number that you prepare. So you shall be with everyone according to their number. All who are native born shall do these things in this manner in presenting an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you or whoever is among you throughout your generations and will present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be for you of the assembly and for the stranger who dwells with you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law, one custom shall be for you and who dwells with you. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it will be when you eat of the bread of the land that you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering, as a heave offering of the thrashing floor. So shall you offer up of the first of your ground meal. You shall give to the Lord a heave offering throughout your generations. If you sin unintentionally and do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, then it will be, if it is unintentionally committed, without the knowledge of the congregation, that the whole congregation shall offer one young bull as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma to the Lord, with his grain offering and his drink offering, according to the ordinance, and one kid of the goats as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and shall be forgiven them, for it was unintentional. They shall bring their offering made by fire to the Lord and their sin offering before the Lord for their unintended sin. It shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because all the people did it unintentionally. And if a person sins unintentionally, and then he shall bring a female goat in its first year as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the person who sins unintentionally. When he sins unintentionally before the Lord to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally for him who is native born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandments. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels on the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Woo, hallelujah. There's only one God, and he will let you know who he is. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord your God. He is the one in charge of everything. Can you say it with me? My God is in charge of everything. Not something, but everything. Our Daddy God is in charge of. And he is the one that will tell you yes. He will tell you no. He will tell you not right now. But you've got to know who's in charge. And it is not me. It is not you. It's not our pastors. It's not anybody but God. Hallelujah. And we go through God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we speak. We got to go through the Savior, because we are nothing without Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing without Jesus. We got to speak life over ourselves and life over our families. But we got to understand also, touch not the anointed of God. Touch not the anointed of God. God has put people in assignment, and it is not our place to try to knock them out of their square so we can step in it. Come on now. Just let me tell somebody. In our word this morning, one of the things that Dr. Stanley highlighted, and we're going to go back to that scripture, is this. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. And as Dr. Stanley says, all sin separates us from God. But some sins bring a harsher judgment than others. Presumptuous sins, brazen, knowing, defiant, arrogant, premeditated sins, carry a heavy penalty. Only fools plan sin and ask forgiveness later. Woo. Don't play. Well, you know, I'm just going to go to the club tonight. I'm going to party. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do me. But, folks, I'm going out of town because people at the church ain't got to know my business. Come on now. I'm going to do me. I'm going where I want to go. I'm doing what I want to do because they ain't got to know. It's just between me and my girls. We know. That's why we going out of town. But we'll be back in the morning. And I just ask forgiveness then. Okay. Playing with God. Didn't play with God. I'll ask for forgiveness later. Sometimes later does not come. Sometimes later is not here. And you don't have time to ask for forgiveness. The word of God has already told us that when Jesus comes back, you'll hear him, you'll see him in the clouds. But no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. As you are presuming to go clubbing and asking for forgiveness later, you might be in a car accident. You might be in a club where a shooter comes in. You might be at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person, and you don't know what's going to happen. And then you have no time. When the Lord says, keep the Sabbath holy, and you go out gathering sick, assuming and being presumptuous that nobody's going to do anything about it, you make a mistake. And what happens? You are dead. You are dead. I'm sure that the man gathering sticks did not know that he was a dead man gathering sticks and that his time was going to be limited because he was being presumptuous doing his thing, doing what he wanted to do and not what thus says the Lord. And we, as men and women of God, we got to start doing what God says to. And I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself, too. You know, we got to all stand up and take responsibility for what we do. I tell you, I am not perfect. I love the Lord, and I'm going to do everything I can to follow what he tells me to do. But I also admit I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes. And all I can say is also, like everyone else, Lord, please forgive me and make atonement for my sins. That's all I can do. That's all you can do. But we have to ask God forgiveness because so many times we are presumptuous. We want to do our thing, not understanding that we got to do what thus says the Lord. We got to do what God says do and not what we think we want to do. Our Father God is in charge. And when we understand that in our goings out and our coming in, everything falls into place. But when we think we can do us and do what we want to do and not do what God says do, then we are being presumptuous. And the sons of Korah were presumptuous. As we get into the rest of our word for this morning in Numbers chapter 16, we're going to hear about the sons of Korah who thought they was all right. They thought, we the sons of Korah. We know what we're doing. We got this thing. We worked in the temple. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. You have an assignment, and you're to do your assignment. But they... just like, remember Miriam, how she and Aaron was grumbling about Moses' wife. He got that Ethiopian wife. And how is it he's the only one? And what happened? Miriam got leprosy. Reality checked, white as snow, because she didn't want to do. She thought she was all that, too. So let's see what happens. Let's get into chapter 16. For those joining us, we are in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, and we're about to talk about the sons of Korah. And it says this, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Korah, son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eli, and on the son of Pelet, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Okay. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take census, Korah, all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord. Tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is a holy one, you take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Moses is like, I ain't playing with y'all. Y'all take too much on yourselves. Then Moses says to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brothers, the sons of Levi with you, and you are seeking to priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that you complain against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come up. Now, remember, they did this before. They are very rebellious. Whatever Moses said for them to do, they do the opposite. We stand in our tents. We ain't got time for all of that. They are the rock throwers and hide hand hiders. They get folks all caught up. Because understand, they was all up in the mix. But, no, we ain't coming up there. Let's see what it says. But they said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land, flowing with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Now understand, Moses did not stop them from going into the land of milk and honey. It was God who sent them in, 12 of them, leaders, and said, spy out the land. It was 10 of those leaders who came back and said, we can't do it. And then they thought they could go in after God said, I'm not letting your generation in. You're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years. And so I'm still trying to go up because now they're feeling bad because they're claiming, oh, we won't just go on back to Egypt. Okay. You're not getting in. And now they're going to blame instead of themselves and the bad report of their people. They want to blame Aaron and Moses. They take too much upon themselves. That's like the deacon's board saying that the pastor who's preaching the word that God gave him to preach is presumptuous and he's doing too much. He's preaching about sin because that dart is hitting home. They don't like what the pastor's preaching. And then you got the crowd, well, I don't like a woman pastor, so we're going to get rid of her. Excuse me. God is in charge of everything. Touch not God's anointed ones, because I tell you something, keep meddling with the people of God and watch what happens. So let's get back into our word this morning. I told y'all it's a good word. And then let's see. It says, and Moses sent to call him. Again, I'm going back to verse 12. Called Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, we will not come up. Rebellious. And let's go to verse 15. It says, then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. See, pastors do their work that God calls them to do, and they do it well. But you got the complaining, whiny folks who are trying to say, well, because the pastor got a new car. Well, huh, that's where my tithes and offerings are going, to buy pastor a new car. excuse me. Your tithes and offering go to pay for the upkeep of the house of God. Your tithes and your offering go to keep the lights on, to keep the water on, to keep the gas on, to keep the air on in the summer. Come on now, to make repairs that need to be made. And most pastors have other employment or they're retired. And the church offering is definitely not enough to sustain some of them. Yeah, you have the ones that are mega millions, but understand a lot of them are making their money off of their books. You better get it clear. Most pastors are not making a big buck from the church because you still got the ones that make plenty of money that'll give $5, $10, $20 when they tithe at $200, $400, $500, $800, $1,000. But they're not going to give it to God because they think they are supporting the pastor. Touch not God's anointed one. Let's keep going. And then Moses said to Korah, tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord. 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer. So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Then they fell on their faces. They kept on interceding. Kept on through everything. They would fall on their knees and intercede for these hard-hearted, wicked folks. Then they fell on their face and said, oh, God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? So the Lord spoke to Moses and speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doors of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split open under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And I from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Touch not God's anointed ones. Don't put your mouth on your pastor. Don't put your mouth on the leaders God has chosen for your churches. Don't put your mouth on folks, because I tell you what, Korah and all this crew thought they was all that. Who do you think you are, Moses? Who do you think you are, Aaron? Huh, gonna try to tell us what to do. Pastor doing this and that, they just doing too much. Preaching all that sin stuff. I don't want to hear all of that. Don't preach no good stuff. All they want to preach about is You must be saved. Well, I'm saved. I'm just as holy as they are. Okay. We're going to have a meeting to tell a pastor that he or she don't need to be preaching that word. Because, you know, you making folks feel bad about themselves. Okay. You got to understand God don't play. I'm not trying to go in the pit. I'm not trying for my house to go down in the earth and the earth close back up. That's let you know that God was. It wasn't no earthquake. It was an earth opening. And all you and all your stuff went into the pit. And the earth closed back over you. Come on now. You know God don't play. Let's keep going. And then wait, all these holy, we all that, because we get to go into the temple. And what happened? Burned up. Incense and all. Censers and all. Burned up. What did it say? And the fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. But did Aaron get burned up? Nope. Did Moses get sucked into the ground? Nope. So let's keep seeing what goes on. Verse 36. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, tell Elijah, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers out of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire from some distance away. The censers of these men who sinned against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, because they presented them before the Lord. Therefore, they are holy, and they shall be assigned to the children of Israel. So Elijah the priest took the bronze censers, those who were burned up had presented, and they were hammered out as a covering on the altar to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companions. Let just as the Lord has said to him through Moses. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. There they go again. Every time these folks are messing with God's anointing, talking about Moses, talking about Aaron, calling them everything but junkyard dogs. And instead of them retaliating, they got interceding. I tell you this, I know my pastor is an intercessor. I know she is on her knees on a regular for all those folks in the church, even those that may be saying things they shouldn't say. She's on her knees for you. She's on her knees all the time. That woman prays constantly because she's always interceding for those. On a prayer call with her this morning, what is she doing? Interceding for others. Touch not God's anointed ones, I tell you this, to save your soul. And it tells you this. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, get away, because God was getting ready to mess them up. And Moses and Aaron both fell on their faces, fell down to pray and intercede for these people. And so Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700 besides those who died in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle meeting, for the plague had been stopped. 14,000 folks, 14,700 lost their lives besides Korah, the sons of Korah. Understand it. Touch not God's anointed one. We wonder why we're dealing with this plague right now called COVID all over the planet, because folks been putting their mouth on God. You got the folks that say, I don't believe in that high power. I don't believe in that God thing. Keep talking. Keep talking. And then understand that even people of God passed on. But understanding this, some were called, some were chosen, and some died in unpardonable sins because they cursed God and died. I'm just calling it like it is. The Lord don't play. Don't take God for granted. Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Thanking God for Moses and Aaron. Those whose sin is covered, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Thank God for forgiveness. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 16 through 18. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. We'll come back on the life lessons from Psalms, Proverbs, and Mark after we finish the word of God. And it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on, which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosening the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. And comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. But it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold there. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written? Woo! Can y'all say it with me? Is it not written? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Say to those out there who got all of this stuff they selling, all the stuff that they doing in the house of God, You know, it's not about the word, it's about me. It's not about God, it's about me. All them folks out there doing all that stuff, remember Cora. That's all I say. Remember Cora. Remember the ones that thought they could do whatever they want to do in God's presence. And remember what Jesus said. My house shall be called a house of prayer. All nations. That you have made it a den of thieves. God is watching everything. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and thought how they might destroy him. But they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. And let's go back and get some life lessons here. But I say this, touch not God's anointed one. That is the word today. Quiet it. But they didn't touch Jesus at that time. I mean, they threw over them tables and had a moment on them. I'm sure they saw the wrath of God in Jesus that day. They didn't see the kindly Rabbani, you know, preaching the word of love. They didn't see the kindly Rabbani healing the sick. They didn't see the kindly Rabbani making the leper clean. What they saw was the wrath of God coming through that temple, tearing up some stuff. No, this is God's house, and you will not make it a den of thieves. Jesus didn't play. Don't take meek and mild for weak and submissive, because Jesus was not weak. He was not submissive, and he didn't play. Touch not God's anointed one. And this is a word from Psalm chapter 32, verse number 1 through 11. Psalm 32 is David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba. He wrote it after his encounter with the prophet Nathan, and probably after he had spent time alone with God in prayer and repentance. If we were to give this psalm a title, a good one would be The Joy of Forgiveness. David writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed can be translated, how happy. Sin blocks our fellowship with the Lord. It also keeps us from experiencing God's goodness. David could not enjoy this presence so long as he had not repented of his sin. When you find yourself discouraged because you have repented a certain sin, turn to God in prayer. Ask him to apply his forgiveness to your life and receive his mercy. He loves you and wants to enjoy your fellowship once again. Father God, forgive me should be on our lips every day. When you mess up, as my pastor says, clean up. And some of us got a lot of cleaning up to do. A whole lot of cleaning up to do. It's time to throw some stuff away. It's time to get our houses in order. And I can't speak for anybody but myself. I got to get my house in order. And as we continue in this word again, it says in Psalm 35 and 2, I acknowledge my sin to you. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Confession clears our hearts spiritually and makes it possible for us once more to experience deep fellowship with God. Unconfessed sin makes us weak, discouraged, and ultimately miserable. We got to confess to the Lord, forgive me, God, for all my sins, seen and unseen. Known and unknown, give me, Lord. For I want to be better. I want to do better. For you are my daddy, God, and I am your servant. You got to speak to the Lord and mean what we say. Proverbs 11 and 17. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The Lord calls us to do what is good and right, not only because godly living reflects his own holy character, but also because it benefits and blesses us. Living by God's word is the healthy way to live. Can y'all say that with me? Living by God's word is the healthy way to live. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 11 and 10, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. Many in the crowd recognized Jesus as the son of David, who would come to reign, but they misunderstood the timing and the nature of his reign. Save now. Hosanna, save now. All want to be saved now. Save us now, Lord. Hosanna. Mark 11 and 14, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. This is the only destructive miracle reported in the gospel. Jesus meant it to picture God's displeasure with the people who appeared religious. Come on now, woo! But whose lives remained barren of the fruits of godliness. I'm reading that again. Let no one eat fruit from you again. And I'm going to read this one more time, what Dr. Stanley says, because it touches for real. It's so true. This is the only destructive miracle reported in the gospel. Jesus meant it to picture God's displeasure with people who appear religious, but whose lives remain barren of the godliness. Wow. What a mighty word this morning. And before we get out of here this morning, I just want to thank God for all of you listening in. It has been a rich word today. And as we get ready to go into a word from our sister in Christ, from Carolyn Skip this morning, it says this, good morning. When you put your trust in Jesus, he will make everything all right. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And I say this as well. When we put our trust in the Lord God, when we put our trust in our Savior, everything is all right. Trust God today. Believe God today. Know that God is in charge of everything in your life and watch him work in your life. The Lord God is calling us today, and he wants us to know that we are loved. We are his and he is ours, and he wants us to know that we are special. And God is putting me a new thing in our repertoire for our words from now on. I have a devotional, and it's prayer. And so as I get ready to wrap it up this morning, as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in Jesus' precious and holy name. I pray over you and yours. But I have a word this morning in prayer. And it's this from script from Psalms 126, verse 3, NLT. Child of the King, your wife will be flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. Father, I am so grateful that I am a child of the King of Kings. My true identity is found in relationship to you. Thank you that I am not relying on my own merits. I gladly rely on you and follow your example. May I become more like you so everyone sees the resemblance as I grow in you. Good Father, I want everyone to know the goodness of your generous character. May I not take this relationship for granted. Let me remember where I came from and how you made me your own. There is no one like you. I gladly come into your presence and lean into your embrace. There is nothing like it. When I approach you as a dearly loved child, I have confidence that you not only hear me, but you delight in my presence. I see the light in your eyes that says you're happy to me. With the wisdom of all fathers, you give me the advice I need for every problem I am dealing with. How could I begin to describe the joy in my heart at being your child? Inadequate. but it's all of God. How do you approach God knowing he is a good father? And I say this morning as we end in our prayer, tell God thank you. Let your daddy know that you appreciate him. Don't wait if your parents are living. Don't wait until it's the funeral to whine and cry and say, I'm sorry. If you did something wrong, tell your parent now. Love each other. Love conquers all hate and all things. Keep Daddy God in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. And again, don't worry. When you are God's anointed, he has already given an edit. Touch not my anointed one and do my prophet no harm. You are children of God, and you are special. Walk in your goodness, grace. Walk in his mercy. Walk in his love. And know you are anointed. Have a blessed day, family. It is all I got. Thank God for each of you again. And I thank God for the 365 days of prayer for life that he has added into our repertoire with Sister Carolyn's daily word. So thank God, and I bless you all. I thank God, and I bless you all with the greatness that can only come from him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray salvation over your family. I pray salvation over your life. And I pray God's grace and mercy over each and every one of you. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward, a wrap, because we're always willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's time. It's time to what? Go to work, y'all. Time to go to work. Love y'all. Be blessed.